listening to Fox Sports Radio.
RJ, we start here on Straight Out of Vegas with Monday Night Football, where it was all New England yet again. The Patriots over the Jets, 33-0 last night, and New England now 7-0 on the season.
Yeah, and what we like to do is we like to start where the other shows leave off. So let's recap what the other shows are saying, and I think accurately, New England's good.
Yep.
Jets, oh, last week we thought they were pretty good. Darnold came back. Oh, maybe he's not so good. Maybe we start there, though. With Darnold, is this just a normal up and down of a younger quarterback? It's still, though, the middle of the second season. He missed a good many games. So he's had, what, three starts this season? Started a lot of last season. Open question. On the side of, huh, this is another sign that he's a loser. Darnold, not a great quarterback, not a good quarterback. Maybe not in the league soon enough, right? There's that side. The other side is, hey, you're young. You're going against Belichick. Bright lights on Monday night. Excusable. Brad, where do you fall on the spectrum?
I'm more of the former. So the first part of that, and because I'm going to go back another year. I'm going to go back to his last season at USC, where we saw a lot of these turnover issues pop up for Sam Darnold. Now, a lot of people out there have said, yeah, he wasn't getting great coaching at USC. That might be true. But to me, I mean, this isn't just a year and a half thing in the NFL. He was a turnover machine his last year at USC. I would be very worried if I'm a Jets backer right now.
Okay, now that's fascinating, the turnover issue. So let's go over that, then we're going to get Jonas's take of where they are on the spectrum. We're straight out of Vegas. So, plus five turnovers, that's what the Patriots were. Go back 30 years or so. Those teams win the game, plus five. So New England, in this case, 96% of the time, they cover the spread. 96% of the time. So against the spread, which is supposed to equalize for where the Patriots are better, so they should get a few more turnovers. Okay. Against the spread, team plus five in turnovers, 158-7. 158-7, one push. Wow. So 96%. So to some degree, this is like what happens when you turn the ball over. You lose. You don't cover.
Yep.
But turnovers have a huge element of luck, but there are skill elements to them. And throwing interceptions or not throwing interceptions is probably the main skill that's part of the turnover equation. Recovering fumbles isn't. Really, interceptions themselves isn't. Tip balls, all that, you know, there's all luck in it. A lot of luck. Some guys fumble more, but they usually don't stay in the league very long. So you're saying, hey, I'm a college expert, and that knowledge extends to the NFL. This is a guy who turned it over. My question to you is, Darnold turned the ball over then, now. How much of that is about him trying to make a big play? Which, in a way, I don't mind. Because when you have the dink and dunk type player in the NFL, they never do well. So the question is, name me a quarterback that's elite that won't take chances.
That's a good point.
You can't. So in a weird way, if someone is turning it over because they're taking chances downfield, then the question becomes, can they get good enough that that's a net positive? And it doesn't always happen. But if you are throwing short and short only when you're young, you never become anything. So this is almost like a good problem to have. The only question is, does he have the skill, discipline, effort level, whatever it is that leads to being able to take risks downfield and still not turning the ball over a bunch? Back at USC, did it feel like just carelessness, or did it feel like he was looking to make big plays?
He was looking to make big plays. He was forcing the issue a lot his last season there.
So the question then becomes, will Darnold mature enough? Will he, is his skill sufficient to do this at the NFL level, to take chances efficiently enough to not allow the turnovers to dictate losing the game?
Yeah, and I will say this in his behalf, in his defense, Sam Darnold, when he entered the league last year, was the youngest starting NFL quarterback since the merger in 1970.
So you might say, okay, let's give him until he's 24, except that's not how people think.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it's a disadvantage to him because year three the New York radio is not going to be saying, you know, he's only 22. They're going to be like, well, I'm 55. It's time to win something here. All right, Jonas, same question. Where's Darnold at on your grade?
I think if he were Mitch Trubisky or Baker Mayfield and he had that performance last night, he'd be getting crushed a lot more than he is. I think it's still too early to judge him, but I feel like he is getting a bit of a free pass by a lot of people in the media.
Okay, so like one of the hot takes tomorrow is going to be like Darnold should be put in jail or something.
Who knows? I mean, I got him brewing. It just depends on what's the best.
The percolate.
Yeah, we gotta let him marinate a little bit. So.
Well, get him out the first 2 hours because five Eastern, we're going to win some money on a Wednesday.
Right.
Full house here, Fezzik in. Now listen, think about these turnovers. I mean, we said it yesterday. A lot of people couldn't believe it on Twitter. It's just true. If you could choose to know something about a game before the game, a genie came down, and the genie said, you can know anything. Well, I want to know who's winning with 50 seconds. Okay, but let's be realistic. If you could know between who's winning at halftime or who wins the turnover battle, now most of you are thinking, no, I got to know who's winning at halftime. So they could be winning by 30. Okay, fine. Literally, the turnover battle winner predicts straight up wins and against the spread wins better than the halftime lead. It's that important. And it's a good flip side to the Patriots because as good as the Patriots defense is, you look at DVOA, there's talk that it's as good as any in memory, 30 years type. But here's the caveat. They've played offenses. And I'm not sure the best way to represent this. Some people have said no one inside the top 20. So, Brad, maybe pull up the list of who they played. And you could say, well, the Jets had a third-string quarterback and Falk, and thus their stats are bad. Okay, fine. But to me, if you just look at the offensive side of the ball and we're going to tick down these teams, what's going to be obvious is these are not good teams. And more specifically, they're not good offensive teams. And thus, yes, they've been shockingly good. I mean, this is stuff, you know, people have been starting to talk about the 77 Steelers. You might say, wait a minute, 77, they didn't win a Super Bowl. You're right. They started 1-4. Now, I was like, you know, 5 years old, so I don't remember this, but I heard about it and read about it. The Steelers that year started like 1-4, had a bunch of injuries. And then the last 10 games of the year, they gave up like 30 points. That's like 3 points a game. Now, think about that. I've always heard that, thought about it, and said, never there's going to be a D like that. But then you got to look at this Patriots and even go back to the Super Bowl. Look at what they did to that Rams team. And whatever the Rams are today, that Rams team made the Super Bowl last year, went into New Orleans, and had a coin flip game. Forget if they should have won, if they should have lost. It was a coin flip game in the NFC Championship at the toughest venue or one of the toughest venues in football to play. The Rams were mighty good last year, and Belichick just shut them down like nothing. Well, it took a lot of effort, but total shutdown. And now if you look at these teams, and this is just based on the DVOA of the offense, you got the Steelers, who had a limited Big Ben, I think it's fair to say, 24th right now ranked. The Jets, 31st. They played them twice. That's a little bit better, right?
With Darnold.
Darnold, maybe.
Yeah.
Except if we look at the QBR.
Yep.
All right, so QBR is a quarterback trend from ESPN that stat. That I like. I think it takes into account strength of competition, a lot of factors. Where did Darnold's bad performance obviously fit in the scheme of things yesterday?
The worst in more than two calendar years, RJ.
Wow. So like literally, and
point,
that's not just
point
that's not
seven.
Just for Darnold. We're talking about all quarterbacks.
Yes, 0.7, RJ.
Falk is on that list?
Yeah, he had a worse performance than any game Falk played this year.
You know, I'm wondering if it's at Kaiser No-No. Was he the one that had the worst?
No, it was Andy Dalton.
Oh.
Week one, 2017.
Okay, so think about that, guys. This isn't he had a bad performance. This isn't, oh, he was almost as bad as Falk. No. He was worse. Miami, number 32 offense. Buffalo number 26, Washington number 30, Giants number 25. Now you might say, well, the Giants, Daniel Jones, yeah, I'm not sure Daniel Jones is playing much better than Eli was, really, yeah. If you add it all up now. I'm not saying there's not some reason for optimism. 24, 31 twice, 32, 26, 30, 25. Now listen, I'm not a math major, but those are some of the worst.
Yes.
In fact, it's almost incomprehensible that's been the schedule.
Yep. For a defending Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, defending Super Bowl champ doesn't mean anything. It's what you start in the division.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're gonna, but Pittsburgh, right? They won the division last year. Yep. Am I remembering that right?
No.
It's all blurring together.
No. Missed the playoffs, remember?
You know what's funny? When you don't win the Super Bowl, so I guess they'll have to play what, Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay, so they haven't played Baltimore yet. And in theory, they're going to play Kansas City. We know that. And then they're going to play, I guess it was Houston, right?
Yeah, they're at the Texans.
Yeah, so really, that's interesting. And I think that is the point here. It's not as if the whole schedule is easy on the offensive side for New England. It's that so far, it's been so front-loaded. And the easy answer is, well, they're going to be good, but not as good. Yeah, we know. The question is, are they an all-time defense, New England? My gut feeling is yes. But the stats now can be deceiving because of that strength of schedule. And Darnold, as bad as anyone, or worse than anyone in over two calendar years in the game last night. So if you're, to me, Colin Cowherd fits right in this, you know, there's never going to be a time that they're ever going to say Sam Darnold's no good. It will be somehow, it was Adam Gase's fault. Yeah. We put this in the time capsule. Same thing with Andrew Luck. After all this time, they said Andrew Luck's one of the best players ever. Like, that literally was the talk. And it was, well, they don't have enough offensive line. The bad coach. The wind was blowing in the dome. The air conditioner was too loud. Whatever it was, there was always an excuse. When he quit, you think they'd say, well, you know, he didn't really turn. No, you didn't hear that, did you?
No.
It was how courageous he was to quit on his team a couple weeks before the season. So we're never going to, when these guys are wrong, they're never going to say they're wrong unless there's something in it for them to say they're wrong. Well, we're going to hold the Sam Darnold guys accountable because I've said this now for about a year. I haven't seen a quarterback turn out to be really, really good who starts out as mediocre as he started out. I'm not saying quarterbacks don't get better. I'm saying this level of play from Darnold now, a year and a half in, is not the level of play you associate with a potential elite quarterback down the road. He might be 15, 16, 17 down the road, ranked 1 to 32. You don't win Super Bowls that way. The Jets won a Super Bowl.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
To me, at the intrinsic level, sports betting Vegas is about disagreement. One side thinks one thing, one side thinks the other. They bet money. In this case, we bet 1,000, Arizona winning 3 more games this year. But in college, we got 2 big agreements here and 1 disagreement between Ken Thompson and Brad. Let's get to it.
Yeah, and the first we've got here, guys, is that Penn State, following their win over Michigan on Saturday night, is now ranked 6th in the AP Top 25.
Okay, number 6 in AP. Brad, where do you got him?
I only have Penn State number 10 in my power ratings.
Okay, what is it? We know that Penn State's a bigger name. Is it simply undefeated with a bigger name, or is there another reason you think they're overrated?
That is certainly probably the case, but I think just looking at their last 2 games, 2 big games, primetime, ABC, at Iowa against Michigan, Penn State just won those 2 games. They covered one of them, almost covered another, but if you dive into the box score, RJ, outgained by 62 yards against Iowa, outgained by 134 yards against Michigan, Penn State was fortunate to win those 2 games.
It's our belief stats are more telling in the long term than scoreboard. In this case, it sounds like the stats aren't as good as the scoreboard for Penn State. Ken, what do you think?
Yeah, and if you watch the second half of that Michigan game, Michigan really dominated the game, held Penn State under 300 total yards, and they got most of that in the first quarter and a half. Other than that, I really thought Michigan controlled the game. They just came up a little bit short. KJ Hamler is such a great wide receiver. He literally keeps Penn State in games, wins games.
Well, but that's part of who Penn State is.
I understand. Let's remember the clock management botched ridiculous offensive coordination for Pittsburgh cost them a one touchdown game at Penn State earlier in the year as well.
Which is, again, that zero because they didn't lose that game.
Yep.
Makes them slightly overrated. You guys say, what, about 10th?
Yep.
Penn State 10th, AP says 6th. And what I know for sure, and I know this for sure, is that Michigan, regardless of the stories we want to tell about the game, is now 1-20 on the road against ranked opponents. One win, 20 losses straight up.
He smells.
Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, having a fantastic year. So much so, he is now the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy.
All right, now let's define what we're talking about. We're going to start with Ken. Let's define what we're talking about. We're not talking about who had the best season up to this point. We're saying the betting odds right now say Burrow is the favorite, and both of you guys disagree that he shouldn't be the favorite. Ken?
I think Jalen Hurts is a more complete quarterback. He runs the ball real well. He's already rushed over 700 yards and 10 touchdowns. He mixes it up better than I think than Joey Burrow does. Joe Burrow, great passer, got the fast-paced offense right now. It's worked, but they have a better chance to lose. They've got the Auburn game. They've got to go to Bama. I think Oklahoma runs the table, and I think that'll reflect and give Hurts a better chance to win it all.
Okay, so you're saying let's assume LSU comes in, loses to Alabama. That's the one game, though.
Yep.
If he loses that game but plays a monster, I think it helps him.
Really?
Because I think there's an – here's the biases I see. I see an Oklahoma bias against Heisman winner. I think right off that hurts very badly.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be – I mean, you hear even a guy like Mike Lombardi say, oh, we should just name it the Oklahoma Quarterback Award. If you get that kind of sense, they're going to do everything they can to go against that.
Yeah.
The voters. This is a vote. We have to handicap the voters. Number two, it does feel like there's an Alabama backlash for years now. Saban doesn't bother him, but if someone comes in and is a Herculean effort, puts up 420 yards but lose by 7 against Alabama, does that hurt or help Burrow? I think it helps.
I'm neutral on it. I don't think it really hurts him or helps him. I think
he puts up 400 yards in front of the world in a David and Goliath situation.
So you're telling me the opposing quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, outshines him? I think it would help Tua in that case.
I think Tua missing all these games makes it a non-issue.
But it's only going to be one game. He'd be back for that Alabama LSU game.
So it's one game?
Yes.
And how many weeks? And there's a bye before?
Yes, there's a bye.
Maybe. But again, Alabama has so many different ways to win.
Yep.
Is LSU going to win? Even keep it close if Burrow doesn't have a monster?
No.
And I'm not saying I'm sure it's going to help. I'm saying you would look at that as an easy loss. He's losing there. Forget him. I don't think it has to be that.
Yep.
You agree?
I do agree with that.
So you're going to say anything about this?
Well, here's what I think. Burrow is more high variance. I could see him out of the Heisman race 2 weeks from now, or I could see him like a minus 1,000.
High variance because you didn't know him coming in the season. He was 200-1 to enter the season.
Yep.
Or high variance because you've seen it this year?
Not high variance because I've seen it this year. It's because of who he plays and the possibility. There's really good possibilities of him losing the Auburn game and the Alabama game. He could be totally out of it by the first week of November. Or if he has two really good performances, he'll be minus 1,000. He'll be like a huge, huge favorite here in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, well, that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
So I think what we're saying here is this. It's not just how good you are as a quarterback for the Heisman. It's politics sometimes. We don't want to vote for Oklahoma's quarterback. It's how good your team is. Because, I mean, what's the worst team that's won a Heisman recently?
You right, know, Baylor, RG3. They won 10 games.
So you got to win, and that's a consideration. By the way, after Burrow, what's the odds?
After Burrow, Jalen Hurts plus 140. Just a little bit behind Joe Burrow, who's plus 120. $100 to win you 120. Then it's Tua plus 350. Justin Fields for your Ohio State, 10-1.
Wow. So Ohio State runs the table. What's Ohio State's closest game at this point?
24, the opener against Florida Atlantic.
But then, I'm saying what's the closest game of the upcoming games? Like, they're double digits now at Michigan, right?
Double digits at Michigan. They're double digits this week against Wisconsin. 14-point spread is their closest.
Ooh, I don't know about 10-1. Doesn't look so bad.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Right now on pregame.com, the Houston Astros are almost a 2-1 favorite.
Yeah, you think I have my mic on. I'm just trying to keep Brad and Ken down when they're always like screaming about their position. I got to keep my mic on. And if you look at the series, it seems cheap, man. Houston's 220 take back on the Nationals plus 200. I mean, having the home field advantage gets you like to 130. Man, I kind of like Houston here. I'm not going to make it an official bet, but in the series, I do lean Houston.
All right, it is crossfire time here on Straight Outta Vegas. We've got a massive game in college football in the SEC, a top 10 matchup, Auburn at LSU this Saturday. Right now on pregame.com, LSU is a 10.5 point favorite.
That music means they're going head-to-head. Brad Powers.
So I like LSU the favorite here, minus the 10.5. I bet LSU here. And the headliner matchup is going to be LSU's offense versus Auburn's defense. But I'm going to the other side of the ball, and I'm going with LSU's defense here against an Auburn offense that I think they can make them one-dimensional. Why? LSU has a top 10 rushing defense in the country. And if I think they can force Auburn's true freshman quarterback, Bo Nix, to have to beat him over the top, I don't like that if I'm looking to back Auburn here. I like LSU minus the 10.5.
And I like Auburn. Here's the thing. They already have battle-tested. They went to Florida. They went to A&M. They lost a tough game to Florida. But Nix, I think, will mature from the three interceptions, some bad passes. Their defensive pressure that they will get on Joe Burrow will be by far the biggest pressure. That includes Florida, that he will be under this season.
Okay, Brad, LSU. Ken, Auburn. Remember, guys, when we disagree, we bet. Automatic $100 bet between the boys.
The NBA season opens up later on tonight. The co-favorites to win the title are actually facing off at Staples Center. It's the Clippers and the Lakers at 10:30 Eastern time.
What's the line on that game?
The line right now is the Lakers minus 3.5.
That's interesting because it, obviously the same building, but the fans are different based upon who's the home team, the ticket allotment. If you look at this, these are the two favorites, plus 350 each, Clippers, Lakers, and the Bucks are 6-1, Sixers 8-1, Rockets 10-1. But if you look at the win totals, this is over under how many wins. Milwaukee's 1, Sixers 2, Rockets 3, Nuggets 4, Jazz 5, then Clippers 6, then Lakers 7. What does it mean? It means that the regular season means less and less in the NBA, and these very elite teams are going to load management. They're going to look at it as a strategic use of resources. So if you do bet the NBA or if you buy tickets for games, make sure you understand those patterns because the teams are going to be different night to night based on who's playing. And I know the NBA hates it, but we got to live in this world, and it's an important factor for bettors.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.